Log Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm very happy to be with you on this rainy weekend in Los Angeles. I have a fantastic guest today, and her name is Catherine Cardinal, and she's just an incredible person. She's an author. She's a coach. She's created the Cardinal Coaching Technique. She has a wonderful book out called Wise Women Rock, and she does seminars, counseling, and she's just one incredible woman. I will have all her credentials, plus our link to this fantastic show that we're doing today. So let me get Catherine on the line here so we can get started. Hello, Catherine, are you there?
Hi, Gary, how are you?
Good, good. Much better reception this time. It's so great to have you here. Your bio is so long, I didn't want to take half the show just for your fantastic credentials. So I thought we'd just
dive
right in here with better audio this time. I'm really thrilled to have you back again. And would you like to talk about self-esteem and your books on that and the boundaries and rules of self-esteem? I think our listeners would be intrigued by that.
Yeah, I would love to. And thank you so much again for having me on. And I guess I always start with self-esteem because one of my branding is the Self-Esteem Doc, DOC, and my book that's out now is called A Cure for the Common Life, The Cardinal Rules of Self-Esteem. And in it, I give 10 simple little poignant truths that can help people change their self-esteem. The first one I like to read is because it's one of my favorites, and it's the first one for a reason, and it relates to setting boundaries, is don't hang around people who make you feel bad about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Too often we're with people and we're feeling icky and we're questioning ourselves, but we're projecting onto them, oh my goodness, they must just be having a bad day, or maybe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
But use your inner self as a barometer as to how you feel when you're with them.
Yes, and I've often found in my own life that extends to family members.
Yeah. So my answer to that is, I'm laughing because it's so universally true, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah.
I have in the book, I have the rule, I have some little information about it, questions to ask yourself to see if you're feeling that way, and then some helpful hints. Things like, if it's a family member and you can't necessarily get away from them and they're in your life, I show you how to put up some emotional boundaries, for instance, in languaging with them, so that they learn how not to cross your boundaries. And the way I do that is it's really done in one sentence, and then this is a little nugget for people to take with them that they can expand on, is we all must learn how to respond to situations and triggers rather than react.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked the other day.
Bait.
Yeah, go ahead.
That, so often that's the bait, that somebody actually baits you into that conflict because it's like an old habit that doesn't just die unless we make a change.
Bingo. Exactly. And old habits die hard. And we're very ritualistic by nature, human beings are. We have a certain sense of honor that we give our rituals, even when our rituals are bad habits that are very familiar. And I often say, when people say, well, why does somebody keep picking someone that's not good for them, or why do they keep repeating a behavior that's so damaging to them? Mm. I say, because on a deep unconscious level, people like what's familiar more than they like what's good for them. And that's the pattern that needs to break. And I know you see this in your work as well.
Yes, there's lots of family loyalties and betrayals if you buck the system, so to speak. And somehow there's a generational effect that I find in the work. If, say, the disrespect was between the grandfather and the grandson, then the father will teach that almost to his son or daughter, because then there's a repetitive line that we bond this way, we bond dysfunctionally rather than functionally.
Yeah, yes, that is 100% correct. And the thing that adds to that is there's a certain level of comfort in that because it's what we know. So I'd love to tell a story right now that I gave a client, because the holidays are coming up, and it ties in with this first rule. He had gotten a job, and he was told at his new job that he would be going up the ladder of success very quickly. He was very excited. He had been out of work for a while. And whenever he would gather with his family at Thanksgiving, I'm going to make up names, of course, Uncle Ron would say to my client, Timmy, did you get a job yet? Did you get a job yet? And then once he got the job, did you get that promotion yet? Did you get that promotion yet? And Timmy had learned to just become very peakish and meek and not buck the system and not disrespect people. And he said, I would dread that moment when I knew my Uncle Ron, who usually had a couple too many drinks, was going to approach me in front of the whole family at the table to say something that I'm feeling embarrassed about myself.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, okay, we're going to break this pattern. Go ahead. Are you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was agreeing to you, yes. And what did you advise him to break the pattern
Okay,
with?
What I said was he does it every year. I said, okay, so I teach people to, in responding, not reacting, one of the tools is to come back with a question, because then you throw a wrench in the spokes of the dialogue that's become the pattern or the habit. So they're all sitting around, and we're talking, hey, oh, how your job, how you doing, Timmy? And then Uncle Ron says, hey, Timmy, did you get that promotion yet? And Timmy just sat. I told him, sit square in your chair, take a deep breath, look him right in the eye and say, you know, Uncle Ron, don't you think you would have been the first person I had told if I did?
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Ron was taken aback because he wasn't expecting it. The whole table went pink and quiet, and then everyone started laughing because Uncle Ron had been stopped. And then it filtered away. And what was the lesson there? Uncle Ron learned what? Oh, we're not playing this. Homie, don't play this anymore. Can't do this to Timmy anymore. So, okay, so back to responding, not reacting. So what I taught him to do there, what you can learn to do is to pause, think about what's really being asked, and come back with something that stops the pattern from repeating. And this is how we are responsible. If you think of the word responsible, responsible means able to respond. And when we're responding, we're our current age, and we're not being triggered back to earlier times.
Yes, yes. And that's very important for our listeners. We've spoken about this before. And sometimes we have the inner child that you had mentioned before. Sometimes we respond or react from our child place rather than our adult place. So I'd love you to speak about that a little bit, because that's very important.
Yes. You know, the way I describe it in the simplest of terms, a very complex thing that humans do, is we are of all experience. Everything that's ever happened to us is stored inside of us, and we can be walking around, and in 30 seconds, we can be 9 months old 1 second, 30 years old the next, our current age the next second, and seven the next second. And this is, let's say we had a situation where we were hit as a kid, we were slapped. If somebody looks like they're raising their hand to us, we will all of a sudden become four when we got hit when we were four. So we free flow from age to age all day long, moment to moment. And that I always use the example of the guys in the barroom fight. You know, something is said and they've regressed back to being two kids on the school ground picking a fight. They're anywhere between 6 and 15. So what I explain to people, it's a piece of information that's good to have, is the unconscious mind doesn't have the discrimination or the discernment to know time and place. It only knows experience. So something's happening in the moment that is resonates with something traumatic that happened to you when you were seven, eight, or nine, your mind will go back to being 7 or 8 or 9 in a second, and you will start responding. You will start reacting, I ought to say, reacting to the situation from that age. So as you're going through the day, the key to a healthy psychological outlook on life with healthy boundaries is to be your current age as much as possible, because the current adult can handle the situation.
Right, exactly.
See? And I know you know this from your work, but there may be people out there that don't know this, or maybe this takes it to a new level of knowing. So if somebody triggers you and you're feeling emotional, here's some helpful hints. Stop for a moment, pause, don't react, because that's emotion and that's probably not your current age.
Right.
And ask yourself, okay, how old am I right now, really?
Mm-hmm.
and start to get a handle of where you went back to, and then pull yourself current and respond from your current age. This isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's like dancing. The more you practice it, the easier it gets.
Yes, and I had an experience when I was an adult, actually when I was 50 years old, my mother was trying to bait me in the same way because siblings and family patterns, just with siblings, how they relate to you, is actually they're still relating to you as a child growing up, hitting the guilt buttons or this and that. And I felt extremely empowered when I just kind of put my mother in place, not angrily, not attacking. I just said, I'm not that kid anymore. I'm an adult, and I expect to be treated a certain way, and I'm not around people who won't treat me with respect. And that was so pivotal for me to really express myself as an adult to my mother and to my siblings.
I love what you just said, too, because it ties in with rule number one, don't hang around people who make you feel bad about yourself. You just gave the listeners an excellent example of how you put an emotional boundary up with somebody, your mom, who's still going to be in your life. And it also is a very good example for how we ought to talk to people we're dating or our partners, because it really sets a very healthy boundary. You know, surround yourself with people who make you feel good about yourself and are willing to play what I call the game you're playing now, which is you love and respect yourself and don't allow yourself to be talked to that way anymore.
Yes,
that's fair. That was a great example.
Yeah, and that's
so,
true. I'm sorry. That's true empowerment.
A true empowerment, exactly. So to recap that, learning how to respond from your current age, checking how much you are staying your current age, and not reacting on an emotional, visceral level, because it's a false sense of power if you get angry or escalated or frustrated or even deeply sad. There's a false sense of power in what I call fanatic emotions that have gone to too far a level. It can feel almost like a false sense of power, but true empowerment comes from pausing, take a moment, and respond. And it ties into rule number two, which is stop trying to make sense out of crazy behavior. And crazy here is defined as inconsistent. This happens a lot when people are in homes where there's alcoholics or addicts or people with control issues or married to or with somebody. You find your hands going up to your head going, I can't believe they did this and then said that. Or I can't believe you're in shock over what someone's doing. So listen, I want to say this, and this is all in my book. There's 10 rules. I'm giving you guys the first two. If you're with somebody and you find yourself in shock and surprise over their behaviors or what they say, and it happens over and over again, it's them, not you.
Right.
And you have a right to say, I'm confused by what you just did because you did A, then you did B. They're not congruent. They don't match. Of course, you want to put this in your own language. And I'm very confused by your behavior. And you can expect of people that they have to explain what they're doing and not let them get away with acting so inconsistent or irrationally.
Yes, yes. That's very good. And it's also safe for you to be around, too, just that you've stated your boundary and you really don't have to put up with anything less than pleasurable. And you still can be real at the same time and not buy into, you know, what they're projecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very, very well said.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll say one more thing and then hold your thought. I want to tell people about the work I do. I have been doing it... I don't want to say how many years because it's over 25, and I don't know if I want anyone to know, but it's been a long time. And my entire commitment... in my service to my service in this world is to help each individual find their authentic self that's operating without their inner critic running them, their protector in place, and being their current age in the moment, responding to life rather than reacting to it. That's a nutshell of my cardinal technique. And you use the word authentic, so finding your authentic self is what my work's all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's excellent, succinctly put, too. Now, one thing I want to ask you about part of this is finding your individuality, but groupthink. You mentioned groupthink, and I'm interested because a lot of what we're talking about could definitely apply to Washington, D.C. They're like schoolboys in a schoolyard, and they're our elected leaders. So is that part of groupthink?
Well, I generally tend to stay away from politics and religion. However, I will say this, that I like to teach people a simple little exercise again, which can be applied to any group or any person in your life, any group that exists in your life, any organization or any paradigm that exists in your life, is that we're all developing, you know, the natural tendency of everything is to move forward. Evolution just is. It's happening at all times. And even if something looks like it's going backwards, on some level, that's probably something that's going to happen before it goes forward. It's natural to move forward. So we're all moving forward at different paces, and our organizations are moving forward at different paces. So I like to teach people this little thing that's simple, but it's got a lot of complexity, is that we're all developing, there's all parts to us, and apply this to organizations. There's our emotional, our spiritual, our psychological, the way we learn, which is our cognitive. There's a way we do tasks, which is how we execute in the world and make things happen. There's a way we learn. Some people learn, you know, people learn very differently from each other. There's a way we retain. There's a way we express. There's a way our personality expresses. There's a way our voice expresses. Just think of all the myriad of things that make us up as a human being. They're all in some level of development. So when we look at something that we don't maybe resonate with, we can maybe say, well, you know, maybe that organization is a little lower on the developmental level, psychologically or emotionally, but let's look where it's advanced. Like, I'll take your example of the government. And again, I won't give my opinion because I stay out of that, although I think there is some truth in what you're saying. But I tell you what the government is really good at is taking a formula, for instance, and if you ever meet someone who works for the government, they're usually very good at doing tasks and seeing tasks through the beginning, middle, and end, which a lot of people can't do. So they're high on the developmental level there. So my point is bringing it back to relationships, ourselves and relationships, because that's the realm I deal in, is when we meet somebody, let's say, and we're dating, or we're assessing ourselves or someone we're dating or married to, start to take stock on using the scale of 1 to 10, where they are developmentally, in your opinion. And then you can start to not see them as good or bad or right or wrong or better or worse than you.
Mm-hmm.
Just they have these different strengths and weaknesses, and you can write down all the different levels and number them and do it for yourself, and you'll start to understand why maybe sometimes you're conflicting with another person or another group or another organization. Does that make sense, right?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Just wonderfully put. Wonderfully put. And I also wanted to make sure we discuss being now. Being in the now of life, I know Eckhart Tolle has spoken about that, but Ram Dass and many people, and I find being fully present is just a luxury a lot of people don't have. It's like we're all alive, but are we really here and functioning simultaneously is the catch-22.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I like to cut people a lot of slack because I'm a human and I know the human experience is challenging in many ways, and I have many clients feel very guilty and very ashamed that they're not able to be here now, that they do go back into regret or they do project with worry. And I just want to tell if anyone's doing that, anyone who's listening, please, the greatest sages in the world have been looking to master this for a long time. It's not necessarily that easy, so be kind to yourself if you're not able to be fully here now. And there are great books on it, but I guess my biggest contribution that I would see from after how many years I've been working with people is, again, it comes back to the inner critic telling you bad things about yourself. Your protector needs to be built up so that you're thinking nicer things about yourself. And then to be here now is to be your current age and responding appropriately in the moment rather than reacting from something in the past or a fear that you have about the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the best definition of now that I've heard. And that's absolutely fantastic. Now, you've had something that I definitely wanted, your book, which I think our female listeners or anyone would love to hear a little bit about, is Men to Run From you can find the right one to run to, which is available on Amazon. And I'd love to hear you speak about that, especially for women who tend to pick the bad boys over and over again and the complexity of that in relationships.
Yes, I wrote a book called Men to Run From, so you can find the right one to run to. And, you know, I had written a book on self-esteem and a book on relationships, and they're my books are very light. Most of them can be read within 20 minutes to a half hour. So I wanted to make a dating guide for women that was kind of comical and fun and light. The foreword is by the Kathleen Madigan, a very well-known comedian. And what I did is I took 22 different types of men that I've seen in my own life and in my client's life and in my friend's life, and I wrote it similar to the Audubon's guide, Field Guide to Birds, where if you've ever seen it, there's a picture of the bird. They have what it looks like, what it sounds like, its mating habits, and what you can expect it to do if you're watching it. So I have the type, and like, for instance, one is called the microscope man. That's the man that's forever seeing that one piece of white lint on the black shirt of life.
Right.
And then I have I have his personality, what he's going to look and sound like. And everyone has this. The next is attractiveness. Like, sometimes we beat yourself up, but I have in each section why we're attracted to these guys. There's a reason for it. Challenges, if you're with this guy, this is kind of the challenges you're going to face if you're with him. Helpful hints, important questions to ask yourself to know if it's time to run or if there's anything workable about it. And then last but not least, things to do. Let's say you've assessed it. This guy maybe is a microscope man, but he seems like maybe he could change, and he's a really good dad, and he's got a lot of traits. You kind of want to try to work it out with him. Here's helpful hints on how to help a man to change.
Mm-hmm.
So the bad boys in here, I'm going to read some of my titles because people get a joke. Sometimes they get a little giggle. The first one is number one is called the artiste. This is the guy who's in love with his guitar, in love with his art, in love with his music, and he tells you he can never really commit because he's got to go with the flow and his mistress is his music. And I always tell women, I work, 75% of my clients are in show business or some form of show business because I live in Los Angeles, it's in Santa Monica, and I will tell you there are many men out there who are in the entertainment field or in the artsy field, and they are perfectly capable of being a husband and a father. So if guys are handing you this line, it's not true. Okay, so there's one of my guys. Another guy is the boys, which is the bad boys, like you said. B-O-Y-Z, I call them. And I divide them up into three sections because I see them as three different ages. Number one is the 7 to 10-year-old. His saying is, it's mine, like a kid. Then there's what I call the tween. He's the in-between, not quite a teenager yet. And his thing is, it's my turn. And he wants, it's like me first. And then the teenager, which is they get stuck around 17 sometimes, his thing is, it's my way. So if you meet a guy that's a bad boy and he's showing these young tendencies, you can read this chapter and find which one your guy's under. I'll read three more and then I'll let you... You can ask me some questions. One is called the salesman. This is the guy that's always got something he's trying to convince you of. And they can range from the white lie embellisher who just tells nice fish stories but really is kind of harmless to the downright con who may be trying to get your house from you. Another one is the come here, go away guy, the guy that gives you the mixed signals all the time. I hear about this guy all the time. He's called the come here, go away guy. And one more, the kid in the candy store. This is the guy that just wants everything all at once and really probably can't be trusted for commitment, but maybe he's good for a roll in the hay. That's what I always say about the kid in the candy store.
That's definitely true. But I find my work where I deal with the ancestral lineages, a lot of women feel they have to be loyal by picking the same kind of men their ancestors, their female ancestors did. So this is yet another loyalty that because that way they'll suffer the same way, you know. And like modern day, I find it kind of ironic that I'm from Boston originally, and it was common knowledge in Boston anyway that one of the founding Kennedys had cheated, and then you fast forward 50 years later, the same thing's going on, you know. And it's so interesting how we're unaware of some of the patterns. That's dating, not to mention marriage and everything else.
Yeah, that's very true. And there's almost like this, like you said, this loyalty to the misery because it's what is handed down. And that's a pattern to break. That's a pattern to break.
Absolutely. Yeah, what I often work with is the guilt that they feel, someone would feel so guilty, male or female, breaking that ancestral pattern that, well, everyone does it this way. Who am I to do it differently? But it's so liberating when you individuate yourself and you feel empowered doing it that you can call your own shots in your life. Otherwise, we're a victim from the day we're born till the day we die, and that's certainly not an empowered stance to live from.
Yes, exactly. And what you just said, that's finding your authentic self. And you hit it when you said, who am I to change this? That's why my first book is on self-esteem, because that who am I needs to be fixed. And that's why I say if you want to read my books, read the self-esteem book first and then the book on dating. And you know, I want to read something because it's the first page of my book, and I love this quote for women to hear this. No boy is worth crying over. And the one who is won't make you cry. Brilliant, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Sarah Kane, age 10.
Wow.
And, of course, I have to
read. She's already evolved.
That's an old soul. And I also have to say, my dear friend Kathleen says, I firmly believe that Men to Run From should be given to every woman upon college graduation, I think earlier maybe. Hey, while you're in college, you should be allowed to date anyone. You want to date the idiot? Go ahead. You want to sleep with the hot jock who will never call you again? Fine. But after college, you should have this book handed to you along with your diploma.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Kathleen Madigan.
Oh, that's fantastic. She's a great comedian. I absolutely love her. So we only have a couple minutes left, so I just want to make sure that people know. I'm going to put your links up, but how do you like people to contact you, Catherine, if they'd like a session or to find out your whereabouts and what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, there's always email, which is cc, my initials, at catherinecardinal.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my websites are wisewomenrock.com,
mm-hmm.
realmenrock.com. And by the way, I'd like listeners, if men are listening, that 40% of my practice are men. I work with a lot of men, help them find great women, help them find themselves, and help birth them into manhood. So I work with a lot of men. Almost half my practice are men. And there's my other website, which is catherinecardinal.com. Any one of those three. Email, and if they want a phone number, it's 310-288-3426.
Great. Excellent. And I'll put all this on my social networking with a live link to the show as soon as we're done. And I would like to let our listeners know that we're so graced to have you speaking at the Holistic Chamber of Commerce function this forthcoming Wednesday. And your title is going to be Who the Bleep Am I Dating or Married To? And that's going to be in West L.A., and I'll put the information up there, too, so they could see you live in West L.A. speaking around probably 7:30 to 8:30 this coming Wednesday, December 11th. So I'm hosting you there, and I'm thrilled to have you, and I know everyone's going to be very excited with what you have to share.
Thank you, Gary. You and I go back many, many years. Thank you for being my friend and colleague, for having me on the show, and I look forward to next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Me too. So I'll put all the information with the link of our show. Catherine, it's been wonderful to speak to you again with much better audio, is much better, I must say. And it's excellent to have you here. And I thank you so much for contributing to Conscious Connection with me. It's an absolute joy and a gift. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
See you next week. Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. Namaste, and have a great holiday season.